Hello?
Mr. President?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
I got that fella and talked to him about 35, 40 minutes. I couldn't do anything with him. He said he wasn't going to mention Bennett, that he thought Bennett was a fair minor figure in it all. Wasn't mentioning his name. That he had been attacked in effect by Lausche and Dodd, and he had to make some sort of speech to clarify his position down there. Position was, as I could understand it, that you put too many troops in there too fast. There wasn't any danger of communist takeover anywhere along the line. At least they were communists there, but they wasn't numerous enough to take over. We got off on a long discussion about Vietnam and other things. I came back to that, but I still didn't move him. He said that he had consulted with members of his committee, members of his staff. Felt like he had to go ahead and make it. When he said he wasn't mentioning Bennett, he sort of disarmed me. I didn't know what else to say after that.
Well, that's good if he's not. That much good come out of it, but
he said he wasn't mentioning by name. Critical of the State Department generally, or whatever. So Bennett was just a down at the bottom of the totem pole. He said he thought man was more responsible for it than anybody else.
But
I understood him correctly. He's not mentioning man's name.
Well, that's a damn lie. He wasn't. Man wasn't even on the meeting. We called man.
Well, you can bring me in on that. You call me for the first part of it. I never would have advised sending the paratroopers down there, but I don't think. But I strongly support everything you did. May have overdone it just a little bit, but that's a good thing in the long run. It'll show them that you're not going to tolerate any.
Well, who in the hell can tell the way you overdone it?
Oh, of course you can't tell.
You send a man there and a man tells you what he's got to have. Now, I've got it tomorrow. I got to decide tomorrow. And I've got these quarterbacks up there, a goddamn fool like Fulbright that sits in back behind the log.
Well, he takes his position after the event. It's pretty
easy. Overdoing
or
underdoing it. I've got to have a bunch more men in Vietnam. Now, by God, do I.
Oh, you're going to have to send
it. Do I follow Westmoreland or do I follow Wayne Moore?
You're going to have to send 300,000 out there before you're through. Ain't any doubt about that in my mind.
We picked the best man we had, Palmer, to send us into the Republic. I told him to be awfully careful. Get me the best general they could get. And they sent him down here, and here's what he said he got to have. I either send him or I don't. If I don't, I'll call him back.
Yeah, well, that's right. I didn't know you went through all that. You called me before the first, before you ordered the Marines in there. I don't know whether you remember or not, but I asked you if there's any indication at all of communist influence. He said there was some, and I said, well, send them in there right away and don't wait on it at all.
They're getting ready to carry on a big campaign, these communists around town, which fool Fulbright's a stooge, against Rayburn now. Max Frankel told Bundy tonight, New York Times, that Red Rayburn wasn't quite as fast as he ought to be, and that
who was this said that?
Max Frankel,
yeah.
New York Times correspondent. Then they had McNamara. Somebody tell McNamara something critical of Rayburn because some of them wanted Gilpatrick his job. I didn't want Gilpatrick his job.
I'll tell you, if you ever decide to get rid of him, you put that fella Helms in there. You got more sense than any of them.
Well, I've got Helms. I'm trying to build Helms where he.
He's been there since that thing was organized, and he's familiar with all those operations. He can explain them more clearly. I had a hearing here this morning, 4.5 hours for our little subcommittee. And Stennis and Stalton Stahl and old man. Democratic, or they all left. And Helms had a better understanding of all of the operations of the CIA everywhere than even old man Allen Dulles ever had. He had set it up. Rabin is a good man. Rabin has got one failing that's going to get him in trouble. He won't ever admit he don't know. He assumes sometimes you ask him a question the man don't know, and his position he ought to say, son, I don't know exactly the details of that. I'll have to get up a memo on that and let you have it. But he knows it all, and that may get him in trouble one of these days. But he's a damn good man. I think he's doing a good job. Of course, he got an impossible job. That guy can't hit back. They can just slaughter them at will, and there's no way they can possibly hit back.
Well, you reckon I ought to ask Rayburn to leave?
No.
See, he didn't want to come in, but they're all taking after him now. And when that
what's the basis of that?
No, that's no basis. What's the basis they're attacking the Dominican Republic?
Well, of course, that's all water over the dam. I asked him, I said, what in the hell, Bill? I said, what do you expect to gain by this? He said, well, just by what you said. He said, well, just maybe there'll be a little slow in the future. Crowds, many people in there, said, may have some trouble in Colombia or somewhere down there. Colombia, I believe he said. Said, you know, we even thought old Betancourt was a communist for a while. And hell, he was a communist. Finally changed over, but he was a communist, an active communist. But he changed over.
He didn't give a damn if you have 40 Castros, Fulbright.
Well, he did. I told him, I said, Bill, we can't afford to even risk remotely having another Castro down over here on this hemisphere. I said, we ought to get the one we got. And he said, well, I don't want any more, but says, we mustn't try to get involved everywhere. I said, well, God knows, I'm a damn isolationist. I said, you led me off in the bushes on some of these things, because I don't believe in fooling with them in Europe, and Asia, and everywhere else. But in this, as far as this hemisphere is concerned, I said, we've got to keep it clean. If we don't, we are sunk. And he said, well, we ought to wait till we know. And of course, when we know, we waited too damn long, we'd have to kill a whole lot of those people. Never reestablish things. But I couldn't move him. He did say that he was not going to mention Benny by name, but he just thought he was an agent of these other fellows. Including Rusk. That's the first time I'd ever heard him.
Oh, he tells every wormy story in the world. Well, I don't think you did anything you shouldn't have done. I would have done what you did if I'd have got the same recommendations you did from the ambassador on the ground. That's what he said to me.
Well, he I'm not going to say that to him. He was a little bit critical of one statement you'd made, though, about that you'd go and do the same thing anywhere else.
Well, by God, that's right. All the communists have been critical of it, but it's going to happen. If they're going to go in here, I'm not going to say
much. I told him, as far as I'm concerned, I said, I'm in favor of going in anywhere. We're going to build another Castro. I don't give a damn bitch into the streets of Brasilia. I said, I'm not opposed to any more communism on this hemisphere than we got now.
He causes all kinds of trouble. He doesn't do anything constructive. He's been gone for 10 days down by God. One of these British operations, Jamaica or someplace. What the hell is this?
Montego Bay.
Somewhere off with the Dillon.
No, he's got some, has he been with the Dillon? I guess that's Montego Bay, that's where their home is. But he's also got some connection there that, with the Rockefellers, he goes to Puerto Rico, that $60 a day place at Rockefeller.
He goes off and can't do anything. He gets back. The first thing he does, he gets back, then he throws a goddamn rock in the machinery. Looks like he'd try to find something his government does right, try to help us instead of hurt us, and particularly his own goddamn party. I don't guess he gives a goddamn. Okay.
Well, I talked to him and told him I wanted to come over there. I was going to be there.
I wish you would. I wish you'd get up and tell what you think about the Castro ground atmosphere. I don't know how many to send in. Well, I don't know whether to send in 20 or 30,000. All I know is when the general says here's what he wants and he needs, I just try to help him, and I think it worked out. In retrospect, I'd do every damn thing just exactly like I did.
I don't think it's a thing.
I don't know what harm they've done.
I think it's a thing. I think maybe
the OAS met.
A little extra travel expenses, all of
the OAS met the next morning, and they met several times since, and they could denounce us any time they want to.
Well, I never had a word one second about San Domingo, because
85% of the polls,
the American people, in my opinion, are 98% in favor of what you did. Of course, there's going to be more and more argument as you build up in Vietnam about what business we got over that. But at least 98% of the people of Georgia, and our people are about as critical at this time as anybody, they are strongly in favor of what you did in the Dominican Republic. I haven't had one left. Not the first postcard. That was critical of them. They all just assumed that there's only thing to do, and it ought to have been done, was done, and they were very pleased it was done. And that's that. And I believe American people as a whole go 95%. Georgia go 98 or 99%. You always got some folks that don't favor anything. And maybe a few professors out of Emory University would go against it. I made the talk down at the University of Georgia since then, in which I said you did the only thing you could do in the best American tradition, and that we had to do it. We didn't like these things, but we had one Castro too many on this hemisphere, and even all the professors and the students and everybody else just threw off the roof.
Bobby Kennedy's getting ready to go now. I see Bundy's in tonight and won't be getting extended to several countries. He's making a tour of Latin America. All over the country.
They're sending him over to stop fighting in India, Pakistan.
Is he paying attention to the Senate?
Pardon?
Is he doing anything up the Senate?
No, I don't think he draws any water over there. Of course, I am not too close to that little block of he and Eddie and well, there's four or five of them there. Jabbar is the best one of the crowd. Good boy. Gonna make good man. Gonna make good senator. Got a little shaking down to do, but he's got the potential for an outstanding man. He's awful light. Not much to him.
No.
But Jabbar is gonna make him a good man.
About your man Patty?
He's so-so. He's gonna be sort of licking his chops now. He's gotten off a fast start, and in the effort to maintain that pace, he may get himself tripped up. But he's a good boy. He's a pretty good boy. I think he's going to be a little bit hard to handle a little later on down the road, be my guess. But he's gotten off to a fast start, and he's got some pretty good ideas now about his own wisdom.
Is he's not Mellard's son, is he?
No. His father was this Tommy Hitchcock, this polo player.
How the hell did he get the name Patty?
Well, Phil had adopted him after Hitchcock married old man Joe Davies' daughter Elna, and they had a divorce, and she was a very attractive woman. Still is, that matter. She lived here, and Miss Post, in the meantime, old Davies married Miss Post. And they were giving tremendous entertainment out here. They had that palatial place they had out there. And old Millard, in the meantime, had made some money. I don't know how, but he bought up that beautiful place with the teak floor about it. It's off the ground. And he married this woman and adopted